Permet mia, permet mister, I can from hell, a stable land, higher plane than I am bound, my breath might be.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a great day it is to be serving the Lord. I'm glad you could join me today for It's a Good Life. And we've been studying through the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4. And I pray and trust that you can have your Bible open. If you're in your car or someplace you can't have your Bible open, please listen as I go through the Word of God. I do read from the King James Bible. I believe it is the Word of God. And as I read this, please have your mind and your heart open to what is being said. Not so much as what I'm saying, but what the Word of God says to you. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it goes in, and it helps us to understand God. It helps us to understand about God, who God is, and who our Savior is, Jesus Christ. And we're studying in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're studying, and Paul the Apostle was used of God to pin down these words that we're reading and we're studying together. I'd like to pick our study up in verse 8 today of chapter 4 of Ephesians. And as we look at these verses in chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Well, this would be speaking of Christ after his resurrection, of course. Now, we have a reference to this passage in Psalm 68, 18, and I read this last time, but I'd like to read it again. It says, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Well, those people who receive the gifts that God wants to give to people, once again, we receive the gift of eternal life, and that's for those people who have received the gift of eternal life. And it's for those people who have not received Jesus Christ as Savior. And it says, therefore, the rebellious also. And that's people who have never trusted Jesus Christ. And I made mention of this before. We're no better than that person who has never trusted Jesus Christ. We're just better off because we're on our way to heaven. Well, notice once again, I made mention of this last time. It says in that verse, when he ascended up on high. Christ went to the high place. In other words, to his throne. And before Christ went up, he had to have come down. And the idea is that God in Psalm 68:18 had descended or come down from his dwelling place. And of course, that's heaven. And that having now secured a victory by vanquishing his foes and having given deliverance to his people, he had now returned or rescinded, if I can use that word, rescinded. I don't know if I made that word up or not, reascended. Maybe I made that word up. I don't know, but it means going back up to where he had been, reascended to his throne. This means his throne in heaven. Now, by studying the Word of God, we know that Jesus Christ always has been. Now, not as the Savior, but as God. He came to this earth. He put on the old flesh of man. Now, when I say the old flesh, I'm not speaking of one who is a sinner. Jesus Christ never sinned. Remember, he was not born of man. He was born of a woman. He was born of the Holy Spirit. So there was no sin about Jesus Christ when he came to this earth. He was God and he was man. And because he was man, he could give his life for sinful man on this earth. He was not sinful, but man is sinful. So therefore, he had to give his life for sinful man that you and I as sinful people could live throughout all eternity in heaven, wherever God would place us, whether it's, I know that we're taught and I believe that according to the Word of God that we're going to have access to this earth. And that's another study. We'll get into that at another time. But we're going to be wherever God wants us to be and wherever we want to be, I believe. And as saved people, we're going to be with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ, and we're going to be with those who have gone on before us, those other saved people, our families who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Some of them have already gone on. And I'm looking forward to seeing those individuals, my family who is saved, and those individuals who have been saved throughout all eternity. And I think of the ones who penned down the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I think of Paul the Apostle. Did you ever stop to think as a saved person that one day you'll be able to meet Paul the Apostle? Stop and think of that just for a moment. Did you ever stop to think that you'll be able to meet John the Apostle? Now, some people claim John the Revelator. Of course, God used him to pin down the words in Revelation. But stop to think just a moment of these individuals we'll get to meet personally. John, the one who God used to show us and tell us about end times as to what's going to happen. And I've said this, and you've heard other preachers say this, you know, I am not so much concerned as to what's going to happen because I know the end. I look in the book of Revelation and I see that we're winners. We come out on top. Why? Because Jesus is God. He's on top. He is the Savior. He is God, and He is the one who is the victor. And I know the beginning to the end because I can study and read the Word of God. And all through the book, I read about Jesus Christ, the one who came and gave His life for me on the cross of Calvary. I trusted Him as my Savior, and one day I'm going to see Him personally. Well, notice that He is on high. He is on His throne. And remember, as we've been studying the Epistle of Ephesians, that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And I'm reminded here that the body of Christ has a specific place for a specific work. And I read this verse the last time in Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, for it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." We're all together. There's no difference. We're all saved once we've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But God gives certain people certain things, certain gifts, in order to help the body of Christ to grow. That means more and more people being saved. The body of Christ, of course, is made up of believers, those people who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts," there's differences of gifts, "but the same Spirit," it's the Holy Spirit, "and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." Well, the bestowing of gifts from Christ are for service in the body, and that's the church, and this bestowing is in His hands. Some people think that they can just say, "Well, I've got a gift and I'm going to use it." Well, if God gave you that gift, then I say glory to God. But if a person just starts thinking they have a gift and they start doing it without the approval of God, they're wasting their time. Well, the Bible says that He ascended up on high, and that's Christ. He triumphed over all His enemies, and He led captivity captive. And when I see this and He triumphed, I think, first of all, of the grave. The Bible says that Christ is the victor over death. He rose from the grave. He's the victor over death. "Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting?" The Bible says Jesus Christ overcame death. He overcame the grave. He rose from the grave, and He's alive today. The Bible says that He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He triumphed over the devil. And the devil, of course, He triumphed over him because the devil has the power of death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same," this speaking of Jesus Christ, "that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, the Lord stripped the devil of the power of death. How did he do that? Because he rose from the grave. He's alive today. And because he lives, we too can live. That is, everybody in this world could live forever if they would just trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55 says this, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption," that's this corruptible is this old body that I'm in. "So when this corruptible," this old body, "shall have put on incorruption," changed, "and this mortal shall have put on immortality." This old body's going to die. It's mortal, but it's going to put on immortality. And the verse goes on to say, "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And here comes what I was talking about a few minutes ago in verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Well, the Bible teaches us that we have victory in our Lord. Not only do we have victory in the sense that we have eternal life, but we have victory over the grave. The grave cannot hold us. We're going to have a new body fashioned like our Lord Jesus Christ's body. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14 says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave." He's speaking of his people. He's speaking of those who trust him as Lord and Savior. "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death." Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He not only redeemed us from the slave market of sin, he not only bought us back from this, he paid for us from the slave market of sin, but he saved us, he redeemed us, he bought us out of death. He says, "I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes." Jesus Christ is not going to repent over saving people. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his mind over having power over the grave or death. He is not going to change his mind about being the Savior of mankind. He is the one who is able to save to the uttermost. He is the one who has the power over death. He has the power over the grave. He has the power over the devil because he is God. He has power to give eternal life because he is the Savior. And he wants to save everyone who would come to him, faith believing that he is one who can reward them with salvation. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we read about gifts, and we're studying about that as we read this section of Scripture in the book of Ephesians. We're studying about, to a point, about the gifts that God has given to his people. But the greatest gift of all is Jesus himself. The greatest gift of all is salvation through Jesus Christ. Who is the greatest gift? The greatest gift, eternal life through the one who's greatest, Jesus Christ. Eternal life for those who will trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I pray that you have trusted him today as your Lord and Savior. And one day I will see you in heaven and we'll rejoice together because you've heard me teaching this today, how that you can have eternal life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've been sharing the Word of God with you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, now's the time. Be willing to go God's way instead of your way. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Lord. Accept him as God. Accept him as the one who wants to save you right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord, I can't name all my sin, but you know, and I'm trusting you to take that sin so that one day I will see you in heaven. You've paid for my sin, and I confess that to you today. Please save me.